You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Welcome back. We are live. It is Minor Talk. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Joined with me is my co-host, he's Sal Montes, and also Alberto Retta, Zay Galindo. We are all here in the house post-Christmas. Hope everybody had a great Christmas here on the program and who are listening to us on the show. Special thanks to everybody who's been helping us out here on 600 ESPN El Paso all year long. And happy holidays to everybody out there. So if those who don't celebrate Christmas, maybe they're celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah to them. You know, just happy holidays to everybody out there right now. That's the best way that we could start things off here on Minor Talk. It was an easy one for the Miners tonight. I mean, what do we expect, guys? Tonight was one of those nights where the Miners were coming back post holiday break and just supposed to go out there and destroy a team like Northern New Mexico. Were there down points? Sure. You can complain about the second half. You can get mad at certain points of that game. But this one was an absolute domination for the Miners. There were points of this one where it got a little low at times. I get it. But my eyes and all the focus is on Thursday's game. Game of the year potential, UTEP versus Louisiana Tech. And that's where we start things off here, Sal. Not really going to focus a lot on tonight's game. I think we're going to use this show as more reflection of 2024 and going to use this as a celebratory episode of Minor Talk in addition to Minor Talk here. But for this one against Northern New Mexico, just like they did against the two other games that didn't count earlier this season. Year. First, it was Sol Ross to start off the season, and then it was Texas Permian Basin. You're supposed to go out there, and you're supposed to kill these teams if you're UTEP.
Absolutely, and you know, a tune-up basically for the Miners going into conference play, and same can be said for New Mexico State and also for Sam Houston. They did what they were supposed to do. Those two teams that the Miners will see not long after after Louisiana Tech comes in. So yeah, not really much to take away. I guess if you're going to take away anything, it's that everybody's healthy, and that's what you need going into conference play.
Yeah, and the Miners have a couple things to still work on before next Thursday. That's another takeaway that you could have, and that the onus is on the crowd to show up on Thursday in front of a UTEP team that's won 10 games, Zay. That's where we start off here for UTEP. They've closed out non-conference play, winning 10 games on the season.
Yeah, and, you know, big three-game stretch. We're talking about Thursday, but this whole three-game stretch to start conference play, three games at home, three games against quality opponents, and this is it. This is the big test that we've been waiting on for UTEP.
Yeah, we've been waiting on this one right here, the Miners to get tested. I mean, you can maybe make the case the Yale game was a good test for the Miners at home, the UC Santa Barbara game on the road. You can even make a statement that the UNC Greensboro game in that neutral site Bulldogs Classic game. Those are maybe three early season tests, but no one comes in as decorated and with as much prowess as Louisiana Tech does. 11-2 are the Bulldogs under Talvin Hester. They were the preseason CUSA conference favorites to win it. Daniel Baccio is a CUSA preseason player of the year. Can't believe they retain him. That's incredible on itself. Sean Newman is killing it at the point guard position and leading the country in assist rate right now. You know, when it comes to his offensive game, they just came off a big win against Rust. So just like Sal was saying about New Mexico State and Sam Houston, yep. La Tech also played a team that doesn't really count right there. But the game before that, a quality win over Grand Canyon, 74-66 for Louisiana Tech. This is going to be an excellent matchup, UTEP versus La Tech, to tip off CUSA play. And Alberto, I think the silver lining for UTEP is they've got this one at home, and the Miners have been great at home so far. The two losses on the season for UTEP, albeit, you know, some fans are going to scratch their head at that Utah Valley game, the San Jose State game. Those are on the road, and the Louisville game was on the road as well. So Miners going into that one 10-3 against La Tech, only three losses this year, but all of them coming away from the Haskins Center.
Yeah, they all come away
from the Haskins Center, but I'll also say this, they all come really early in the season, so I think it was just kind of that early season jitters that the team was kind of working off. So now they've picked up some steam, they picked up some cohesion, and they're playing a lot better. So I expect them to play well in this three-game stretch to open up conference play.
I think they've got also the opportunity to do so. This is a UTEP team that started off, they've got to back up their record, but they started off strong. I mean, at least strong to this point. And Sal, there were some duds in there in non-conference play.
Yeah,
Utah Valley is probably the biggest head scratcher. San Jose State was a step back after they, got right against UC Santa Barbara. But for the most part, how would you rate UTEP's non-conference slate?
Non-conference, I'd say, I'd say B, so to speak. And the reason why is we know that there's a lot of things that they can improve on, and they've beaten up on inferior opponents for the most part. There are some decent wins and some good wins. I think Yale is up there, and that Greensboro win is looking a lot better than we anticipated that it would, even before they played. But, just looking at some of the deficiencies, I think they're getting by on talent and their amazing defense. They're forcing turnovers at an extremely high clip. When the time comes that another team is forcing as many turnovers as you are, or they're taking better care of the ball, but they're able to score in a half court and slow it down, that's where it gets a little bit interesting. So you can't get too high, can't get too low. I think B is a fair assessment.
Yeah, I would also say, there are a couple stats that really jump off the page for me. Turnover ratio defensively, they're killing it. They're second in the country on KenPom in turnover percentages per possession, forcing on 25% of possessions, they're forcing a turnover. That's exceptional right now. The average across the country is 17%. Miners are doing it at almost a fourth of every possession that goes on. They're actually turning the ball over defensively. And then on the three-point shooting side, they're top five in the country in three-point shooting percentage. That's something I'd never thought we would be talking about for a Joe Golden coach team, Zay. Yet that's what we're talking about here 13 games into the season. How would you grade UTEP 13 games in here in non-conference play?
Yeah, I like B+. They're 10-3, but honestly, they had a shot to win all three of those games, right? And the Utah Valley one, they got blown out. But looking back at it, like you said, that's a head scratcher. They're better on paper. They're more talented on paper. And they just came out flat, right? I think they could have won that one. We all know the San Jose State game, the bad start, the weird finish, and then the Louisville game. They were in it, about all.
Yeah, the whole game.
Yeah, the whole game. So. It's nice that they're 10-3, but it also, at the end of the day, right, those three losses could have they could have been 13-0. I'm not afraid to say that, because they really could have. But they're 10-3. They took care of business against most of the teams they were expected to win against, and now they have, a lot of expectations going into conference play.
Alberto, you were there tonight, courtside for UTEP Northern New Mexico. Takeaways from tonight, 79-60, and then let's switch it over and let's talk end-of-year stuff.
Well, the team started off doing as you'd expect them to do, but I think that second half really left you well shaking in your boots if you're a Miner fan. 37% shooting from the field and 75% shooting from the free throw line, which is to me a little bit out of character. So your overall shooting really dips statistically for the entirety of the game, and so it just kind of, it's a little worrisome if you really want to overanalyze things. But I think that the way that you're able to get everybody in there, get everybody some minutes, and the way the guys looked, you want to feel good about this team. You want to feel like they can take care of business.
Yeah, 34 points from the bench is going to be where I kind of hold my hat on. I don't care about shooting splits for this one. This is a game against Northern New Mexico where you're throwing in all your bench and just seeing what they could do. The rebound margin's a number that I would point out. I think that one is still obscure and a head scratcher to me. 41-37 rebound margin goes in favor of Northern New Mexico. But as far as takeaways, you don't really have any. This is an NAIA school right here. This is also coming off a holiday break, and this is the Miners just getting ready here for conference play. So I feel comfortable turning the page on this game and then looking to other thoughts. We'll get to some of our listeners' thoughts on this game here later on and wrap it up here later on in the program. But I want to open up and talk a little bit about this year and reflect back on what 2024 really looked like here in the sporting world of El Paso and the sporting world at UTEP. So this is Miner Talk. We could talk,
know, the best moments, the highlights of 2024. Was this a good year, a bad year? We want to know. UTEP defeated Northern New Mexico today, 79-60. This is our final show of 2024 here for Minor Talk, and we're going to be talking about the top sports moments of the year. What are your favorite sports moments of 2024? You could reply with yours at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, or you can give us a call, 915-505-6009. Sal, I listed off a ton of thoughts today here in our group chat. We'll go over all of these right now and just kind of, you know, briefly touch on some that you shouted out as well. But I think the first one was the one that I missed that I have to put on the board right away. It's UTEP announcing this year that they'll be making the transfer to the Mountain West. That's going to be one of those things we're going to always look back at, is where were you when UTEP was announced to go into, you know, the Mountain West from CUSA and finally ditch this conference?
Yeah, it's something that people who, how could I say it, people who are not even a thought at the time that people wanted UTEP to go to the Mountain West, get to tell their uncle or their dad about, right? Like, hey, 2000-something, so-and-so was not a thought, but come 2024, hey, I'm going to make up names. Hey, Uncle Javier, you know UTEP's going to the Mountain West? What? No way, mijo. I've been waiting since I was 20 and I'm 50, or whatever the case is. But no, man, it's huge. Obviously, it brings in, just a lot of nostalgia in terms of who they used to play. But hey, they're there now, so it's time for them to make some noise. Or okay, They'll be there. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And UTEP going to the Mountain West has to be one of the top sports moments here locally of 2024. That's definitely a huge win, and that's a highlight. There were some low points of, you know, just remembering in moments of 2024 that we'll go over in just relevant moments of this past year. But definitely want to highlight that one. One of the most, relevant moments that will have ripple effects here in the years to come. UTEP making the transfer over to the Mountain West. Also this year, UTEP was ranked number one in Conference USA Recruiting Zay in both the spring for the National Signing Day, and then here in the fall for early signing day here for UTEP football. So when we're talking about the class of 2024 for National Signing Day and the class of 2025, those early high school guys, UTEP football ranking high up there in terms of Conference USA recruiting for 2024.
Yeah, not just number one in Conference USA, number one among all Group of Five programs in the state of Texas. So that's a big win, right? You know, you have Sam Houston in your conference. There's Rice in the American Athletic, UTSA in the American Athletic, North Texas. I can keep going. That's a big, big win for UTEP and, you know, on the recruiting side. So that's just one of many, like you said, memorable moments in 2024. I'm thinking about them, and I keep just finding more. You know, and it just goes to show it was a very interesting, fun year in sports in the 915.
Do you take more positives than negatives for UTEP volleyball's run?
Yeah, I take a lot of positives. I think it's it was sad they lost in the first round, but they made it to the NCAA tournament. You're telling, you know, a UTEP volleyball fan, which there were not many in like 2018, that in a few years this team would make the NCAA tournament as an at-large bid. I mean, it was just laughed in your face because they would have thought, no way that's true. So all around, Ben Wallace and his volleyball crew, an absolutely phenomenal job and very entertaining. They were an entertaining squad to watch.
I'll say this, Sal. I don't know how they top this year for UTEP volleyball. What a run. The hype, the excitement, packing Memorial Gym the way that they did, Club Memorial the way that they did, hosted the CUSA tournament, albeit that didn't go the way they wanted. But yeah, just the run that, you know, how they had it and getting to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's progressions, right? It's like, what is that next step that you could take? You can't go five steps forward without taking that one that's in front of you. And we've seen that progression under Coach Wallace with various players, right? Patterson's not there no more. This is just one of many players, but he continues to rebuild. Obviously, Kaya Weaver, the big name on campus for the Miners. But that progression, though, is, hey, how can we can we become better? All right, become one of the top five or top six in Conference USA. All right, check. You know, then they make it to the tournament, not this past season, but the one before, the one where they got to play in the championship game, right?
NIBC.
And they're like, how can I top that? All right, go to the tournament. All right, They got an at-large bid, just like Zay said. All right, how can you take that next step? Not only go to the tournament, but win the Conference USA Championship, defeat Western Kentucky, show them that you're the best team in the conference, and then cherry on top, win a game in the volleyball tournament over there, right? So I think that's going to be the next step for them. Not only is it what's next, but it's absolutely possible with the way that this team year in and year out continues to get better.
Yeah, and I also think they have a CUSA tournament championship
exactly,
in mind as
yeah.
well. They want to win one of those, and like you said, go out and win an NCAA tournament game. Those are other goals that the program has, but what a catapult year for UTEP volleyball. Speaking of catapult, Alberto, we've got to talk about the men's basketball run, because they went all the way to the Conference USA Championship. You don't take those runs for granted, because you never know, despite how good this team might look on paper, or despite how good this team has started off the season, can't take runs like that for granted. And like they wore on those t-shirts over the summer, they were only 10 minutes 33 seconds away from going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they defeat Liberty, right, in that first game, and they were the underdogs in that one. And so I think that, a team that wins 18 games last year, and like you said, is 10 minutes away from going dancing, that's something that the city really needs to embrace, and it's failed to do so in this season, right? We've talked about the lack of support that the basketball team has seen. So, yeah, you got to really love what happened with that men's basketball team, and you're really looking forward, but especially as they pick up steam so early in the season, you're looking forward to see what's going to happen at the end of this season.
915-505-6009. We're giving our top and most memorable moments in El Paso sports for 2024. Give us your favorite moments of the year that you are hanging on to. We're just giving off some of them right here and reeling them off. Don't forget, Zay, about Kayla Thornton winning a WNBA title with New York. She's now with Golden State, man.
Yep, she's on the newest WNBA basketball team, so she'll have a big role there. And, Irvin High School alum, UTEP alum, winning a WNBA championship, the highest level of women's basketball in the world. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. And she got celebrated in the correct way. They retired her jersey, honored her at the UTEP game. I mean, it's awesome. And El Pasoan is a WNBA champ. No other El Pasoan can say that.
Sal, we can't take that one for granted at all. Kayla Thornton, what a star in El Paso.
Yeah, and a big staple for the Miners. The one who couldn't be happier, other than the Thornton family, obviously, is none other than Coach Keitha Adams,
of the family, right?
Exactly, yeah. She's in the family for sure. So I still remember them getting the call that they were going to be in the tournament, and everybody celebrating. That was Coach Adams' Get Low moment. I remember that song blasting. That's when that song was big popular. So shout out
that's
to her,
funny.
An amazing person, an even greater person than a player. And she's, one of the best players, athletes in general out of El Paso. So shout out to KBT.
I'll ask you, Zay, can UTEP take credit for just the hype around college football 25 or NCAA football 25 coming out and UTEP having just some spotlight, the fact that you can grow the brand a little bit on the video game fashion, or is this a bit of a reach right here? Just the fact that college football 25 is back here in 2024, is that one of the sports highlights for you?
No, because I play college football 25 like all day. Like, you guys don't understand, I'm on that game 24/7, and I play online. I've never played against UTEP. I play with my friends. They never choose UTEP. And it is, maybe it is bigger than me and my little circle than I'm led to believe, but not much UTEP love from college football 25. They don't even have the blue helmets in the game.
Wow.
Like, so depressing, man.
Yeah, Sal, you don't use a lot of UTEP either.
You know what? I did in the beginning, but,
true.
Just with conference realignment and, some nostalgia back in the day, bringing up some other teams. And also, too, I don't know if Zay can attest to this, but uniform selection is huge for me. So if I could get a nice uniform combo and bring up a team at the same time, bring it on.
I do like the fact that they update the uniforms in
College Football 25. That's the other thing I'll add to that one as well. But good stuff, guys. 915-505-6009. We're giving our favorite moments in sports of 2024 here on the program right now. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. We got a couple responses right now. Robert, our pal Robert Urquidy, says, the hope for my favorite moment, Malachi Nelson becoming a Miner before 2025 ends? Question mark. What do you think, Zay? Is it a possibility?
I mean, I guess never say never. Never say never, but I have no clue. Like, I know just as much as everybody else.
You know what I'll say is last time some people on Twitter and X were a little upset with the fact that we dropped a little thing on Malachi Nelson. To which I'll just say this. When we're told things off the record, we love our sources, so we keep things off the record. So when somebody from the national media reports on it, it's fair game for us to start talking on the record here on Minor Talk. So that's just how we do things over here. And yeah, I would say we do it by the books. So let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Brian is next up with us. Brian, you're going to get things started with us here on Minor Talk. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, y'all? It was honestly a wild year for UTEP sports, but my personal favorite mode was in the Conference USA tournament for men's basketball. That insane run we went on where we beat Liberty, beat Sam Houston State, and when we almost came and beat Western Kentucky. And even though we lost it, it was still probably one of my favorite moments on the year. It's the time when I started to get into UTEP sports, because previously I wasn't really into it, but now I'm one of the biggest diehard UTEP fans online. But that's one of the biggest moments that made an impact for me. Happy holidays, y'all.
Happy holidays to you, Brian. Appreciate that. As we continue, 915-505-6009. It just tells you, Sal, that there are a lot of basketball fans out there. And even though UTEP didn't taste, quote-unquote, success, the sliver of success that fans tasted in the run to the CUSA tournament, that was enough to get people inspired or energized for their fandom going into this year, just like you heard from Brian.
Absolutely. I mean, making it to the championship game after having the regular season record that you did, right? Obviously, we know it means nothing in the grand scheme of it, but if you would have said, hey, UTEP that's hovering around or just can't seem to crack that 500 mark is going to make it to the championship game. Oh, and also, everybody that's eligible is going to come back to the team. It gives you a lot of hope. So, I mean, the record as it stands right now should be reason enough for people to want to go see it. But I understand, though, if people were excited to get in on this team before the season even started, knowing they have what they have, I wouldn't even argue that. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'd agree with that completely. Let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Worldwide through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
600 ESPN El Paso
is KROD El Paso,
a Town Square Media station.
Minor Talk is back. We are live right now. 600 ESPN El Paso in our River Oaks properties. We're presented by Jack in the Box here on Minor Talk as we continue. 15 locations located here in El Paso and Las Cruces for Jack in the Box. It's the perfect spot to go to before and after every game. That's Jack in the Box here on Minor Talk. The perfect spot before and after every game here on the show. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. We're asking right now top sports moments of 2024. We're just talking about this one after an NAIA win for UTEP basketball tonight, 79-60 over Northern New Mexico. Okay, we talked some other, let's roll down the list, okay? So we talked about UTEP recruiting class. We talked about UTEP volleyball's run. We talked about the Men's Basketball Conference USA tournament run. We talked about even the likes of Kayla Thornton becoming a WNBA champion, UTEP going to the Mountain West. What we have not talked about is the Don Haskins statue, Alberto. That's one of the things that UTEP got to unveil this year. A lot went into planning this one out, and UTEP, now every time you walk on campus, you get a chance to see the great statue of the Bear greeting you right in front of the Foster Stevens and the Don Haskins Center.
Yeah, the statue, and I love the placement. It's an awesome placement. Every time I drive down Mesa, which is pretty often since I live down there, you get to reminisce, and I really enjoy it. And then you get to turn also down on Oregon, and right down on the bus stop, there's also kind of the mosaic. So it's a nice area to turn down memory lane and really just, like I said, reminisce. And also, Steve Kaplowitz really made it happen. Awesome,
very true.
Awesome for that to happen.
Zay, another one to mention. Tyree Snide, drafted by the Seahawks, earned a starting role mid-year. Elijah Klein's in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jacob Cowing's in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. Andrew Mayer earned a shot with the Dolphins along with Gavin Hardison. But, you know, no one has made an impact as a rookie quite like Tyree Snide. What a great class it was, first off, to get picked up in the NFL, and then secondly, for Tyree Snide to storm onto the scene. I mean, it's not just El Paso who's talking about him now and UTEP fans. It's now the whole country who's noticing what he could do with the Seahawks.
Yeah, he's one of the best rookie linebackers in the NFL, and he's proved that. Towards the end of this season, he's really come alive. Like you said, he earned that starting role mid-year, and I really can't wait to see what's next for a guy like Tyree Snide. You know, he was really exciting to watch at UTEP. He was here basically his whole career, right? He was a JUCO guy, but he spent, I think,
one more year of eligibility?
Come back. He's come back. But, yeah, I mean, he is the epitome of UTEP football. You know, what it was, that defensive, you know, they were amazing when not amazing, but they were really good when Tyree Snide was on the field at UTEP.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see at least one of those guys succeeding in the NFL.
And he anchored a lot of that. So that was a big thing about Tyree Snide. Sal, not to get into the weeds of it, but the failed Sun Bowl plans, that's another thing that happened here in 2024. I guess this wouldn't be a favorite sports moment. I guess this wouldn't be a highlight of a sports moment. But the Sun Bowl had renovation plans that they proposed with the El Paso County to partner up with them to give them over $200 mm-hmm. million dollars in relief to do all these renovations at the Sun Bowl that could lead to, you know, bringing things like entertainment things to the Sun Bowl. But one of the plans was to renovate those south side locker rooms, which Jim Center has said that is still a plan and a project that the university wants to embark on. However, the early plans for this one, they were axed. So, Sal's answering a phone call right there, but I'll bring your thoughts in on this, Zay. Just at least for now, no one really knows what's going to happen for the Sun Bowl renovations, but I will say this, the locker room, at least the home locker room renovations, that's a huge, huge plus for UTEP moving forward.
Yeah, it is, and obviously it was disappointing that, you know, they didn't go through at first the plans, so like you said, we'll see what happens, but yeah, the Sun Bowl definitely is going to need renovation soon. It's an old stadium, and I mean, an upgraded Sun Bowl, we'd be talking about one of the best stadiums in the nation, because it already is, right? Just based off pure vibes, the atmosphere, the scenery, it's already one of the best. So imagine, you know, an upgraded Sun Bowl with who knows, right? That'd be a very, very attractive place.
The only issue is the locker rooms need a dire upgrade and facelift, Sal.
Yeah, as they said, it's one of the best. You got to treat it like the best. You got to take care of your stuff. If you have a nice car, take it for the oil change, you know, take care of the tires and stuff like that. Same thing with the Sun Bowl. You got to be able to maintain the conditions or improve them, because there's a lot more bowl games that are on the trajectory. I don't want to say they'll overtake the Sun Bowl, but give it the respect that deserves.
Yeah, good point there. And yeah, it's a bad reflection when it's the Sun Bowl. It's great teams coming, and then they have to go in those dungeon locker rooms. It's like, come on. And that's what I'm excited about here in the future. UTEP probably and possibly improving those locker rooms on the south side of the Sun Bowl. 915-505-6009. We'll get to more of our most memorable and top sports moments of 2024 here in just a little bit. Let's go to Milkman, who's next up with us. Milkman, happy new year to you. I hope you had a great holidays, man. And what's going on, man? Good to hear from you.
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going? Well, happy new year to all of you. And Christmas. The Christmas season has been very hectic, but I've been definitely trying to keep up with the games. We were going to go tonight. My dad wasn't feeling up to it, but I got to tell you, this Louisiana Tech game, it should be awesome. So we're definitely going to make sure we get there. But I'm nice. Just I'm pretty pumped about being 10-3 going into conference play. And yeah, you know, there were some patsies on the schedule, but I mean, that game against Louisville, I mean, that's one of their three losses. I mean, I'm convinced that they've been getting better and better as the season goes on, which is what you want, especially going into conference play. But I think one of the best things about it is last year, what did we complain about? They couldn't hit from outside. look, now we got one of the best three-point shooters in the country. I mean, this is things are looking up this year, and I'm you know, quietly, I guess, but I'm getting excited. You know, I really think, you know, the Patsy's notwithstanding, I think we're on track to do something this year.
Well, Milkman, the last time UTEP won 10 games in non-conference, albeit, you know, that's a kind of a skewed stat right there because sometimes they don't even play enough to really warrant a 10-win non-conference slate. But still, last time UTEP won 10 games in the non-conference slate came in 2014. So it's been a while since they've actually done this, won 10 games in non-conference. I'll take the three games that you talked about away, the Northern New Mexico, the Texas Permian Basin, and the Sol Ross game, and UTEP is still 7-3, which I find promising. Today's day and age, it's hard to schedule quality home games. No one wants to come to El Paso to play UTEP. It's a lose-lose situation for most quality teams, yet UTEP was able to go 7-3 in the games that mattered. And, you know, we could have been talking about, kind of like what Zay was saying earlier, maybe a undefeated non-conference schedule if things shook out the right way for UTEP, looking back on this. But I think there's still room for improvement, man. They can still get better off the glass, and they can still, grow in terms of an offensive team moving forward.
Oh, 100%. And they definitely obviously need to take care of their falling apart in the second half. Or maybe falling apart's the wrong word when you have a large lead, but, taking their foot off the gas, you know. They definitely need to get that under control, do a little bit better on the rebounding. But I got to say, another bright spot is the big men seem to be stepping up now. You know, we didn't have much of that last year either. So I just judging on what I've seen, I am, cautiously optimistic. I think they could do some special things this year.
All right, good stuff, Milkman. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. Milkman is bullish on the Miners here after non-conference play. I am too. I feel pretty good about UTEP. I know there are some limitations on this team, but I think they have room for improvement still. And that's how I feel about this group moving forward. A couple other bright spots of 2024, just to shout out other people across El Paso, not necessarily UTEP ties. Tristan Newton winning a national championship with UConn back-to-back years and going into the NBA draft, being selected by the Indiana Pacers. Let's talk about his cousin, Aaron Jones. He signed with the Vikings this offseason. He's killing it this season in the NFL, already eclipsed 1,000 rushing yards and is being considered for the Pro Bowl again. Talk about Jake Fetty a little bit, committing to Arizona State. He is the sensational quarterback who's a junior at Del Valle. They had a great run this year, by the way, Del Valle out of high school football. Manny Fuller, their all-around athlete, he committed to Utah, probably going to be playing a little defense over there with the Utes, and so that's a solid fit for him. And then also want to mention Jaden Leverett, Zay, going from Chapin, committing to Vanderbilt. That definitely was a highlight of 2024.
Yep, you know, big Jaden Leverett, he stands about 6'10", 6'11 in person, honestly, and he's having an absolutely dominant season. He's going to be fun to watch, hopefully at Vanderbilt, right, in the SEC. An El Paso hoops player playing the SEC. What a time.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's a great thing right there. They just defeated Dallas Carter today.
They sure did. Dallas Carter, one of the best teams in 4A state of Texas basketball. Right now, Chapin 16-1, I think. I don't know. Hard to keep up with these tournament games, but
yeah.
They are probably going to crack the top 10 in 5A, and once again, they'll have a shot to make it all the way to state in 5A hoops.
Okay, I'm going to ask you three, your top moments of 2025 for sports here locally. We were going to say your top three, but let's just do your overall, your best moment right now. So we'll go around the table. If I missed any, feel free to mention them here on this as well. Before we get to that, Tristan Pence on the show. Not much to say about UTEP's game tonight, except it resembled something that you would see in a rec league. Every game is important from here on out, so Miner fans need to show up to the games, especially against La Tech. Here's to a prosperous and safe 2025, guys. Hashtag Miner Talk. Appreciate it, Tristan. Great to hear from you, man. UTEP Mineto, just a thought, if the first half was weird and the second half was solid, would it feel different? Hashtag Miner Talk. Maybe not. Maybe it would feel a little different. Minetto, that's a good point. Maybe we'd be talking more positively after this one here right now. Let's go around the table. We'll start with you, Alberto. Best sports moment of 2024 in your eyes here, you know, for local or El Paso or UTEP. What was the best moment in your eyes?
I told you this one. This one's for soccer sickos. So Locomotives, they start their season on a poor streak, lose eight games before they win their first game of the season in the third month against London United out in Virginia. And then they also beat, in the same month, they beat Charleston Battery out in North Carolina 2-1. And Charleston Battery, they were first in the league at the time. So to pick up two road wins in the third month of the season after losing eight games and most of those at home, it's pretty impressive. That one's for sickos, so I enjoyed that one. Also, Antoine Holmes, he picked up his first collegiate basket today, if you want to throw that one in for a late contender maybe an honorable mention.
Honorable mention. That's a feel-good moment of 2024 right there. Because Antoine Holmes, great local prospect, great local kid out of Chapin, and playing for this UTEP basketball squad. So you're going soccer, a little different and unique here for your selection. Alberto, Sal, where are we going here for yours? Best sports moment 2024. Give us your thoughts.
Best sports moment for me, or at least tied into the sports field, got to give a huge, huge shout out and lots of love and respect to none other than Steve Escajeda, legendary El Paso sports guy, legendary guy out at EPCC. Finally gets to relax a little bit. Maybe I'll see him out at Escajeda Park when he's playing some golf or whatever. But no, shout out to Steve, man, the absolute best. Nothing but love and congratulations to you.
Steve Escajeda, our pal from Football Friday Night, he was working with the El Paso Community College as a professor for years and years and years, and he just retired. So congratulations to one of El Paso Community College's greatest and one of our good friends, Steve Escajeda, who listens to us here on Minor Talk. So appreciate you mentioning him, Sal. Zay, let's go to you. Best sports moment 2024, where we're going.
Yeah, shout out Steve Escajeda. And for me, I'm going to go with, I guess, kind of like Alberto, I'm going soccer. San Elizario wins the 4A state championship in the boys' soccer this year.
Good one.
I mean, their fourth state title, their first since 2019. And that's honestly huge. The first, state title for an El Paso team, I don't know in how long, no matter the sport. So really nice to see. It was really exciting, a really nice win, and we'll see if they can do it again.
Great representation. I love the inclusivity there because San Elizario, they're great friends of ours here on the program. Coach Sappenfield's joined us before, and big shout-out to their program, making it all the way to the state championship and winning it four times. I mean, that's what an amazing feat right there. So San Eli, big shout-out to them. Great sports moment of 2024 there, Zay. I like that one a lot. I'm going with Mountain West, guys. I mean, this one is an amazing thing. I never thought UTEP would get out of CUSA. And maybe this is me just being so excited for UTEP to get out of Conference USA. No more weeknight football games. No more traveling across the country in other sports, unlike, football. Forget football and basketball and all the other sports that we're talking about. Every other sport that doesn't get enough love or representation out there, and how difficult that is to travel in a league that doesn't make any sense geographically. Does the Mountain West give UTEP a severe upgrade? Maybe not. But is it a better conference than CUSA? I believe so. On paper, the new look of the Mountain West is exciting. I also trust the Mountain West leadership well over the CUSA leadership. So I'm going to go UTEP making the transition and going into the Mountain West is my favorite moment of sports moment here of 2024. And guys, I'm excited going into 2025. Crystal ball predictions. Anyone want to make a bold prediction as far as what we will see in 2025? I'm going to go ahead and I'll just say it. I think we're going to see some kind of crazy, just like we saw this year for UTEP men's basketball, a run. I think we're going to see a similar type of run this time around for men's basketball. So that'll be my bold thought as far as 2025. Anybody else want to give some bold thoughts, crystal ball predictions of what's ahead next year in 2025? Are we going to see UTEP football make it to a bowl game? Are we going to see volleyball run it back, go to the NCAA tournament again? Could a team out of El Paso in high school make it to a state title run, just like we saw from San Elie in soccer. Maybe it's Chapin boys basketball finally, Zay. Any bold thoughts, bold predictions in 2025? No. No one. No bold thoughts.
Oh, man.
This is hard. I'm just putting everybody on the
spot.
How
about a post-Christmas wish list?
Yeah, what's your post-Christmas wish list there, Sal?
You know what? I would say UTEP winning the Conference USA Championship on the men's side.
Okay.
I think the most realistic one would be UTEP volleyball, not only winning the tournament game, but ultimately, and I think this would be huge, but defeating Western Kentucky in the tournament. I don't give a damn what game it is. Just beat them and be the best team in Conference USA. That, matter of fact, forget the wish list. That's my prediction. UTEP volleyball finally dethrones Western Kentucky as the top team in Conference USA. Yes.
Nice. Okay. I like it. Zay, Malachi Nelson to UTEP, is that the bold prediction? Where are we going?
Yeah, my bold prediction is, I don't know if this is bold, but a UTEP team wins a Conference USA championship in 2025.
Okay.
I feel like that's a little bold, right?
I think it's bold.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say which team. I'm just saying one of them.
Okay, I like it. Good stuff, guys. I'm excited for 2025. I think good things will happen in 2025 in sports, locally, nationally, and I think we're headed in the right direction. So UTEP tonight defeats Northern New Mexico 79-60. I won't be here for the game of the year, Louisiana Tech. It's coming up on Thursday. I'm excited to hear from Sal, from Alberto, from Zay. After that one, UTEP taking on La Tech. And for this La Tech team, guys, they're strong. Sal, Sean Newman kills it at the guard position.
Yep.
But we all know Bacho. It's Bacho versus Kalu down low, and that's all going to be happening next Thursday.
Yeah, and it's two things that the Miners, I don't want to say struggle with, but I guess one of them they struggle with, but it's two opposites to the Miners' strengths. One is the Miners force turnovers. They have a lot of good guard play, and they don't really turn it over too much. And then the obvious one is the rebounding, where Bacho's not even their leading rebounder. He isn't. So that spells trouble for the Miners. So we'll definitely see what's going on. It's going to be a battle of styles for sure.
Yeah, Zay, when it comes to La Tech, what do you notice about them? What have you liked from them, or what are the, I guess, vulnerabilities from them in non-conference play from what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, start of the year, they did struggle at times without Bacho. If I'm not wrong, I think they lost to Southern.
Yeah, they did. 73-70. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they're a really good basketball team, but obviously they have fluke games too, right? That's their Utah Valley game. Losing to Southern, a team in the SWAC, it's just not something that, you know, you're used to seeing out of La Tech. So they're not invincible, but they really are good, and they're really well-rounded. They're good in several different places. They kind of have the pieces that you need to make a run, not only in the Conference USA tournament, but, you know, the NCAA tournament as well. So really tough task at hand for the Miners, and it's going to be an interesting game. They got the best of them twice last year, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yes.
They swept them, and that home game is really, really nasty, really gritty game, and UTEP just really couldn't get it done. We'll see if they use that as motivation. 9 scholarship players returning for UTEP. I know they remember last year, and I know they want this game, so let's see what happens.
Real quick, let me send it right back to you, because in this game last year was easy. It was Isaiah Crawford is who Otis Frazier III guards. Who is he guarding in this game? Is it as easy to say Amari Abram, or is it somebody like Caden Cooper? Like who does Otis Frazier III guard, or do you throw him at Sean Newman and just say, hey, let's throw him at the best point guard over there and really test Otis Frazier's perimeter defense in the biggest game yet so far?
Well, here's the good thing I like about UTEP is they have perimeter defenders all around.
True.
So,
it's like, what do you want, Corey Camp or David Terrell on him?
So, you know, I feel like Sean Newman, he had like 20 assists the other day against a non-Division I team, but 20 assists is insane. They got to shut that guy down. I feel like that's the number one priority behind, of course, shutting down the big guy, Bacho. And it doesn't matter who they throw at him, right? They're going to have their hands full. But like you said, they have David Terrell, Otis Frazier, Corey Camper, even Devon Barnes has shown, you know, some defensive prowess. So I'm excited. I don't know these matchups because Louisiana Tech is such a deep team, right?
They are.
Especially when it comes to that backcourt. that's why I feel somewhat comfortable but uncomfortable. I don't know how to feel about this game. I'm watching Louisiana Tech losing in football. I want to be watching the same thing in basketball on Thursday.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. I'll go over to you, Alberto. It's just interesting to see what say play is now underway. Now, these games actually matter when it comes to UTEP basketball.
Yeah, so it's crucial that I've said this before. It's crucial that you start off well. You know, you have those three conference games to start off your conference play, but you want to ideally, obviously, win all three, but you don't want to slip and then have go through a cold streak on the road after those three games that you play at home. So I think it's important. You also finish it off with your rival, right? And you host them. So you want to be able to win that one and just knock off all the boxes to have a great season. So I think that all those things are right in front of the Miners. You just got to go out there and get them. And it's going to be crucial to box out. I know it sounds like a really small thing to highlight, but it's huge. You know, today, to have a team like this out-rebound you, and especially out-rebound you in the second half, like, you can't have that. That's, if you're a true basketball, you know, diehard, you know that the Miners are in for some trouble coming in with La Tech.
Well, I think that they're just going to have to bring their A game. I don't know if they're going to be like, I don't necessarily think that UTEP should be seen as like this crazy underdog in this game. They have a chance, and on paper, they stand a really good chance against La Tech, but they have to bring their best type of performance. They have to shoot lights out from the perimeter. They have to rebound the ball, like you said, box out in those situations, and treat every possession like they mean something. So we'll see what ends up happening on Thursday. It's game of the year potential. UTEP taking on Louisiana Tech. Then on Saturday, they host Sam Houston State, and then they host New Mexico State, just like you alluded to, on Saturday, January 11th, the week after Sam Houston State. I've got the Miners winning two out of the next three, and that would pin the Miners at 12-3 going into their road stretch at Liberty and then at Florida International. But Sal, I mean, to just kind of give our closing thoughts on this one, Louisiana Tech is an important one. If UTEP loses that one, it's not the end of the world by any means.
No, not at all.
However, it would mean a lot for them to start off conference play with a noteworthy win like that under their belt.
Yeah, or at the very least, a good game on their end. I don't want to say moral victory, but if they can play well and Louisiana Tech is just a better team, then so be it. Looking at KenPom, they're really not that far off
right. When
it comes to various rankings. I'm going through like adjusted offense, strength of schedule. I think UTEP is better, so to speak, on the strength of schedule, but they're still under under half of the top half, I should say.
It's true.
Of college hoops. So they're not that far off, and the same can be said for Louisiana Tech. Only one game in general. I know that they haven't played conference yet, but only one game separates these two teams. So it's going to be real interesting. It might be within 1 to 3 possessions, depending on how it pans out, but you definitely don't want to see them fall flat on their face for any stretch of it, because if this is going to be one of the best teams in Conference USA, you got to play up to par and show that you belong there.
Okay, I'm going to ask Zay, our hot hand of the game. I'm going to ask Alberto, our player of the game, and then we're going to wrap this one up. We appreciate everybody listening here to Miner Talk. If you missed any of the show, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts, Miner Talk. That is us here on the program. Zay, let's start off with hot hand of the game. UTEP defeats Northern New Mexico 79-60. Where are we going for hot hand of the game tonight?
Yeah, this is tough. You know, Otis Frazier almost had a quadruple double.
I saw that. Yeah, I was having to look up Sule Boom stats to see when's the last time UTEP flirted with a quadruple double. But I like that.
So he had a really good game. Derek Hamilton had a really good game for the first time in a little bit. It's been Kevin Kalu talk when we come to the big men.
Agreed.
And then Corey Camper, of course, the leading scorer, 15 points today. But for me, I guess hot hand of the game, I'm gonna say, I'll go with Derek Hamilton. He came in off the bench, and he provided a nice spark. You know, he was rebounding the ball. He was getting those nice layups, doing Derek Hamilton things. What were you seeing? I feel like he's had 11 points, like, in every game of his career, it feels like. Like, every time he has a good game, it's him having 11 points and being, like, 4 for 4 from the field. So he was a spark plug that UTEP needed today, and, yeah, I give him the hot hand.
Derek Hamilton, 11 points in 8 minutes. I love the efficiency right there by him. 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds tonight, and he also chipped in with the steal. Derek Hamilton is going to be our hot hand of the game, brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Stay on schedule with Wind Supply of El Paso. See why home builders make them their trusted HVAC system supplier. Check them out online at windsupplyelpaso.com. Over to our player of the game, Alberto. Where are we going here from tonight? UTEP winning 79-60.
For player of the game, Corey Camper.
Are you asking me? Let's do it. It's Corey Camper.
Corey Camper. I like the way he played for today. 7 of 12 from the field, 3 rebounds and 3 assists, and I mean 1 steal. You got to love the way he played. You're gonna have to get him hot. He played. He scored 19 points out there. Remember, in that Conference USA tournament against Liberty. So you're going to need him to be huge.
Corey Camper Jr. wins the player of the game, brought to you by the Oscar 80th Agency. You could also go Otis Frazier III, who flirted with that quadruple double like we were talking about, with the 7 steals, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and 12 points for Otis Frazier III. But we'll give it to Corey Camper Jr., 15 points on 7 of 12 shooting with 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in 23 minutes of action. That's brought to you by the Oscar 80th Agency.com. Check them out to bundle your home and auto insurance online, OscarIDAtTheAgency.com. Joe Chacone with a late post checking in. This year I had a lot of moments for sure, but I'm looking at the recruiting class for next year's minor football team. Hopefully we're talking about a 10-win season and $45,000 a game. The move to Mountain West is going to be significant, especially if we leave Conference USA as the conference champs. One of my favorite moments this year was finally meeting up in person. Hope you all had a great Christmas and a very happy new year. Hashtag repping from El Chuco now. Shout out to you, Joe Chacon. Appreciate you. You are delusional, saying 45,000 in attendance. UTEP can't even get 5,000 on a weekend for a home game and a UTEP basketball team that's won 9 games. And, you know, you're talking 45,000 for a Sun Bowl. Come on, man. Let's be realistic. As far as the attendance for next Thursday, show up. It's game of the year potential. I mean, what else can we say here, Sal, other than this is the highest quality basketball game you're going to find in El Paso this season thus far.
Yeah, and you kick conference playoff, on the right foot in terms of competition. And the ball's really in their court, no pun intended. I mean, the schedule could not be any more favorable. You get 3 usual quality teams when it comes to this conference, or at least respectable basketball. So you're going to get 3 legs at it. Why not kick it off right against the preseason favorites? Not only that, but also the preseason favorite of a player in Bacho as well. Go out there and support him. It'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. Hey, I appreciate you guys for holding down the fort next Thursday. Appreciate everybody here on the program, and appreciate all our listeners here as well. That'll do it for us here on Minor Talk. UTEP defeated Northern New Mexico 79-60. For Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Bratis. We're signing off. Happy New Year, everybody, here on Minor Talk as part of our community. We'll be back in action on Thursday, January 2nd, here on 600 ESPN El Paso.